Welcome back in, everyone, to a fantastic new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are excited about the guests we're having on our show today. Another set of listeners and followers who are bringing us a great production that they're presenting. Joining us today, we have the Secretary and Social Media Manager, Carrie Claire Gleason, the Treasurer, Director, and Choreographer of the piece, Claire Spinetti, and the President, Set Designer, and Costume Designer, Ashley Gleason. They're all joining us to talk to us about St. Mary's Drama Guild's production of Cinderella. It's happening April 27th and 28th, and then May 4th and 5th at St. Mary's Church in Woodside, Queens. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting stmarysdramaguild.org. We are so, so happy to be able to give a spotlight on this fabulous production, this great local production. And so why don't we go ahead and welcome on our guests, Carrie Claire, Claire, and Ashley. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you for having us, Andrew.
Thank you.
I am so excited to have all of you here today and to talk about a great musical, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, of course, and this wonderful production. So why don't I start with you, Claire, since you are our director of the show. Can you tell our listeners who maybe aren't as familiar with the show as I hope they are, kind of what the show is about?
So this show is not your typical Disney Cinderella that you have seen as a child animated. It is Rodgers and Hammerstein version, which gives Cinderella a much more of a voice than Disney's animation did. It is about the coming of age of this young Cinderella and her finding her voice and her strength that she had all along and just didn't believe in herself. And through her finding her voice, giving voice to the people of their land.
Love it. Ashley, as the president of this guild and set designer and costume designer, how did you all come upon this piece and land on doing it?
So it had always sort of been in the back of our minds. Like, we put down a list of shows like every year, things that we want to do, things that we're attracted to. And the benefit of having three people working on the board is that it gives us a variety of things and perspectives to look at. So this kind of had come up as one of those types of shows that everybody wants to do. And it just happened that we were sitting down last year after we had finished our run of The Sound of Music. And it was like, all right, I think it's time to do Cinderella because, you know, we have a good group of young teens who are going into young adulthood. And we wanted to have something that offered, you know, fresh sort of perspective and for to generate new blood, but also for something that would allow us to give something to the more seasoned members to sort of hitch on to.
I love that. I love that you literally finished Sound of Music and you're like, should we go to something smaller now? Nah, let's go somewhere bigger. So that's awesome. Harry Claire, as the social media manager, as well as the secretary of this guild, what has it been like developing the piece?
So I, because of all the technical issues, I'm also the music director for the production as well. So yeah, we do everything, all three of us. But from the start, we kind of wanted to make everything a little bit different than we had done in the past. So because of COVID and everything, Sound of Music last season was like our comeback story kind of thing. Because if you didn't put on a production for a few years, people kind of forgot you existed. So we had to like really vamp up our social media. So we were advertising everywhere. So when we decided to do Cinderella, I was like, well, we have to go 10 times harder with advertising because now we want to keep everyone and then get more people. So when we decided on Cinderella, I was hesitant to do it because I was like, another Rodgers and Hammerstein? You think people are going to get bored? Is it too soon? But Claire and Ashley qualmed all my concerns, and creating all of the not only helping create the music and the ideas for the show, but creating all the social media and advertising. You know, it's given me a real appreciation again for Rodgers and Hammerstein. I love Cinderella the original, and I have not yet seen this version. So when we finish, I will know what happens. But yeah, developing this show with Ashley, who is my sister, and Claire, who is one of my closest friends, like a sister, it just makes it much more sweeter to do a show that is so iconic. And then developing all the stuff with their approval, my approval, it's like a real team. So every time someone makes a decision, it's all three of us pretty much making that same decision.
I love that. That is so great to hear. What a great camaraderie you all have. Claire, coming back to you as the director, what is the message or thought you hope that audiences will take away from this production?
As similar to what I said earlier, really just about, you know, for young girls, but even older girls and girls in that very tough age range of, you know, teenage and early 20s. Right now we live in a world where I see this with, you know, my dance classes, stuff and everything. That age group for girls is really just attacked on a daily basis on social media, on what you should be, on all this perfectionist stuff. And they are some of the most, you know, self-doubting and self, you know, depreciating people now. And I really want them to be able to come out and say, find their own voice and to help find who they are inside and what they can give back to society by finding their power and their voice as well.
I love that. I absolutely love that. I think that's such an important, not only message, but subject that should be getting discussed. Absolutely. Ashley, I want to ask you that same question, since you are also the president of this guild, is what's the message or thought you hope that the audience will take away from this?
Like Claire, I work with a lot of youth. I'm a teacher. So it's just constant, like, trying to get them to appreciate who they are as a person, as well as looking out for people. So like one of the core messages of the show is this conflict between Prince Topher not understanding like what's going on in his own kingdom and being sheltered away from it. So like looking out into the world and seeing what's there, like stepping out of your comfort zone, as well as seeing Cinderella and how she overcomes the conflict of her own familial misery, and then having that camaraderie within your own village, because there's just a lot of distractions in their town. Like, you know, you have one character trying to say, hey, there's like a problem here, we're being taken advantage of, and then everybody's like, oh look, the prince is giving a ball, because that's the shiny distraction. So it's also more of a message of, you know, self-awareness and your awareness within your own community, and that outreach is there, that love and camaraderie are there if you just look out from past your own nose.
That is brilliant. You all are pushing a fantastic message with this show. That's great. Carrie Claire, I want to ask my final question of this first part to you. And I think it's very apropos with you being, you know, the head of social media, marketing, if you will. Who do you hope have access to your production of Cinderella?
Well, primarily everyone, but that's the, you know, the cheap answer. But really, we try to make it as affordable as possible, because our proximity to Manhattan, we're right off the 7 train line. So maybe like a 10-minute to 15-minute walk to our theater, and we're on a major boulevard, Queens Boulevard. So yes, we want everyone to come, but we really want people who think they can't afford, I mean, now with inflation and everything, that can't really afford to go out. We try to keep our prices as low as possible. We only just recently raised our prices. Like, we were at like $15 for like 10 years. So it was, we want everyone, and specifically we want people who, they may not know what musical theater is, or may not know what theater is in general. And we could maybe be an outlet for them, specifically people who may be on the autism spectrum, LGBTQ plus spectrum,
where even though we're a church and we do believe that Jesus and God are the one and only, we are still very accepting of everybody. And we want to make sure that they understand we're accepting of everybody. And again, the affordability of our program. We have individuals on stage that fall on both of those spectrums and probably more that we're not aware of. So just making sure that it's inclusive for everyone. We literally say if we could do this for free, we would, but none of us have the funds to do that.
On the second part of our interviews, we like to change things up and let our listeners get to know our guests a little bit better and pick your brains, if you will. And I want to start by asking the three of you, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past or just some of your favorites? And Claire, can I start with you on that?
My biggest inspiration starts a little smaller and closer to home. I was introduced to theater through my uncle, who lived with me while I was growing up. He was disabled, and so he lived with me growing up, and was more kind of like the older brother role than an uncle, really, because of the family dynamic. And he found theater in a time where it was very dark for him, and it really saved his life, basically. You know, gave him an outlet that wasn't drugs and alcohol, and gave him a place to be and a purpose. And I really found theater through him growing up and seeing how it changed his life. And then through him, how it changed so many other lives of people in the community, just really got me passionate about keeping that going and doing that forward and just being a part of a place that is just there for people who need it, who is accepting of all and who doesn't judge anyone. And it's just for everyone, by everyone. And that sense of togetherness is what really inspired me to just go out and experience all types of theater all around.
That is a fantastic answer. Wow, what an inspiration. Love that. Carrie, Claire, I'm going to come to you next. What or who inspires you?
Well, it won't be as heartfelt as Claire's, but one of my, and they're not a composer, it's someone who is still alive today, but I've always idolized, and it may be, again, the cheap answer, but Barbra Streisand is one of my biggest inspirations. Besides her, like, humanitarianism, her personal life, just her on stage, I wish I could have seen her on stage. I'm sure anyone who did, it was a feat to see, and they didn't really know what was going to happen with her career, but She is one of, in my opinion, one of the most beautiful women in the world. And people would call her ugly or say she was weird looking just because of her religion and the, you know, genetics. And it was really inspiring where she's like, no, I'm beautiful. I don't know what you're talking about. So Funny Girl is my favorite musical of all time. The music, the score, the composer, everything about it. Even when I saw it with Beanie Feldstein, and everyone's like, oh, she's not Barbra. And it's like, no, she's not. She's Fanny Brice. That's who she's supposed to be doing. So, and learning all about Fanny and everything through the movie, through the musical, she's probably my biggest inspiration. But another one is Agatha Christie. I am super into murder mysteries. I love them. We do escape rooms. We do murder mystery parties. So I'm the first one who was like, let's do a murder mystery for a show. And it's usually Agatha Christie, because a woman to write a genre that was always dominated by men. And don't get me wrong, I love men. I have composers I love that are men and writers that are men. But like, she took a genre and made it her own, which already had pre-existing men doing most of the work. So her work always leaves you guessing, and I love it. And it, yeah, so those are probably my two biggest inspirations in theater.
Two wonderful, wonderful inspirations. Fabulous. Ashley, how about you? What or who inspires you?
So from a young age, I had always gravitated towards performance. So I would, you know, read out the books I was reading out loud, and I would put funny voices on. It's kind of what led me to being a teacher. And because that is the most performance of all performing arts, I guess, is teaching. But there was some moment where I did my first show was Guys and Dolls Junior. I was in fifth grade, and it had never occurred to me that, like, I don't think I ever knew about theater before that. Like, I knew of musical theater, like I watched musical theater videos, but they were movies, they were played by actors. Like, I never had thought about, like, on stage. And it kind of baffled me, like, wait, I could do this, like, in real life. Like, I don't have to be in my room. Like, I can be on a stage. I can pretend to be somebody else outside. So that was, like, I guess the best inspiration for me. It was also one of, like, the most, I guess, eye-opening, humbling experiences, because, again, my first foray into musical theater is like, well, I want to be the person who has the most lines and who has the most songs. And when the director had said, no, you're going to play Adelaide, I'm like, well, then I don't want to. Like, I don't want to do it. Like, I want to be the lead. And then she sat me down and goes, okay, but A, you're probably one of the best readers in your class. And B, you did something differently than everybody else. So I can see you pushing Adelaide to some, like, you're going, like, I don't know if I'm making this up or if it's really true, but, like, you're going to steal this show. So don't, you know, don't quit now. And then, like, as for, like, what's, like, one of my favorite shows, I have to, like, go back to my first show was Phantom of the Opera. That was the first show I had ever seen on Broadway in my entire life. I went on to see it about 9 times, which pales in comparison to some people. But I saw, you know, Hugh Panero, Norm Lewis, Sierra Boggs, just some of the most greatest people. But then, like I gravitated towards that show. Recently, I saw Sweeney Todd with Josh Groban, and I absolutely adore Josh Groban. He is one of the best singers I've ever heard in my life. And I am, like, really defensive of it now. So much so, like, some of the choices that have been made recently, I'm not on board with. That's a totally different thing. Yeah, so that, I think I was my inspiration for theater, I guess.
I love that, though. That's amazing. Great, great inspiration. Well, let me ask the three of you, what is your favorite part about working in the theater? And Ashley, let me start with you on that.
Working in the theater is, I think, just watching the confidence, because especially with working with children, but even with adults, watching it happen, watching it transform on stage, watching when everything comes together, and just seeing that growth and that camaraderie. I'm probably stealing everybody's answers at this point because there's just so much, but it's them coming back year after year. We've been doing this, I want to say 20 years now, I've been part of this guild, which makes me sound like I'm old because I am quite old in retrospect. But yeah, 20 years was the first show that we did renewing the guild. The guild is, this is 75 years we've had the guild. There was a little bit of a stop. And then in 2004, it resurged. And I was already in high school, but I had come back to sort of work backstage on it, lend my help where I can, and that I haven't left. So I've been here since then. So just seeing the faces come back, seeing their growth, especially like the children turning, you know, into adults, and just the passion behind it.
That's a fabulous answer. Wow. And congratulations to your guild. 75 years, that is Incredible. That is to be proud of. So very cool. Carrie Claire, what about you? What is your favorite part about working in the theater?
Probably because I'm not the most like crafty person, so I can't like make the sets. You can tell me to paint it and I'll paint it, but I don't have like that mindset. It's probably crafting things in another way, like in sound design and, you know, technical design, because I only recently started doing music direction. I mean, I can't play the piano or any other instrument that's pertinent to teaching people how to sing. I know the trumpet and that's not needed. So I always worked backstage if I wasn't on stage, and I stopped being regularly on stage when I was like 16, 17. So I moved early on into the, you know, the development end that you don't really think about in musical theater or in theater in general. So I really truly enjoy, you know, looking at a script and being like, okay, how can we make a dragon fly from the sky and be like realistic about it in a community theater setting? Because the script obviously is not realistic. We don't have professional riggings and stuff like that. So working with everyone in the technical aspect, especially the individuals in this call, and then working with castmates and, you know, just people in general, be like, how would you do this? And it's very, you know, community based and camaraderie. So I really enjoy that part of theater and seeing people who are actors go, hey, I want to learn that too, which kind of like tugs at my heart because that's who I was. I love acting and I love singing, but seeing a production in the back end be created is, to me, much more satisfying for me. So seeing other people who have that passion is really satisfying because you don't see it very much anymore.
Yes, yes. Fabulous answer. Bringing us home on this, Claire, what about you? What is your favorite part of working in the theater?
I guess like first and foremost would be the family and the community that gets built within the group, but also within every production. I tell people all the time that I am very lucky that I get to do this with two of my best friends in the entire world who are basically like family at this point. We do everything together. And I think that it has really helped, you know, build our relationship, even though there are times that it can get trying and difficult and you can butt heads. I think it has made our relationship so much stronger than normal friendships who don't have to, you try to put on a production successfully together. But then just, you know, the communication together within the group and the family that gets made, the family that gets made within the guild as a whole, but also each production, you know, there's still shows that people have a connection with through that show that grows and gives them a connection for life. You know, we've had members who have been with us who have gone off to do bigger and greater things. For example, like one of our old guild members was on leave from the Marines and decided to just come to her rehearsal and hang out and help out because we are also his family because of all the time that we have spent together creating, developing, and working together. It's, you know, it's its own family outside of your given family.
I love that. What a great testament to the power of community and family in theater. Absolutely. It's a beautiful answer. Well, we have now arrived at my favorite question to ask guests, and that, of course, is, what is your favorite theater memory?
I have two, and they're very equal, but I will go with the first one. My a thing called like Girls Brigade, similar to Girl Scouts, a little more arts and craftsy. We were going on a trip, and it was to see The Sound of Music. And I was 7 or 8. It was the revival in 1997 or 1998, I believe. And my mother came with me because Sound of Music was obviously one of those movies that was on repeat in our house. And we were sitting in the chairs, probably in the orchestra, in the way, way back. But I was a very tiny child, so I needed that booster seat. And when the captain came on stage, I turned to my mom and said, "That's not the captain," meaning Christopher Plummer. And I asked to go home because I was very upset it wasn't him. So, and I don't remember much of a lot of childhood memories, but that's one of the few ones I remember. And apparently I made everyone laugh in the orchestra at a very inopportune time, which is on brand for me, even as an adult. And then my next equal one is an adult one, which is seeing Funny Girl live. Claire joined me in seeing it, and I got tickets as soon as it was open. And unfortunately, my mother couldn't come with me, but Claire was more than happy to come. And I slapped her leg so hard when people start all the songs, like, and then Ramin, can't pronounce his last name, but Ramin comes on stage as Nicky Arnstein. And this poor girl's leg must have been so red because I was grasping it so hard and hitting her. But yeah, that was, those two were probably like my absolute favorite. There's of course thousands that I could say, but those two really stuck with me my whole life.
That is fantastic. I love that. Who'd like to go next?
I guess I will. Mine is very personal. I mentioned before about my uncle, we were very close during his lifetime. Again, more like a brother-sister type of relationship. And I grew up watching him do shows. And then as he got older and his disabilities became more difficult, he really stepped off doing, you know, onstage stuff, which he really loved to do. And I kind of moved right into it. And he was a great support for me. But there was just one time where we got the opportunity to be on stage together. It was a production of Les Mis, and it was the one time that we actually got to be on stage together. I mean, we were both in chorus parts, and people wouldn't think that, like, that's one of my favorite shows ever, but just being able to do it with him, on the stage with him, especially since it was also the last show he was able to do in his life, is really special.
That is such a wonderful memory. Thank you so much for sharing that. Beautiful. Ashley, bringing us home on this one, what is your favorite theater memory?
So they're my two favorite as director. One was I was in the show and directing, and then the other was it was the first show I was not on stage directing. So the show that Godspell we did, these were both actually our fall shows. Godspell, I was in the show, and Godspell is hands down my absolute 100%. If anyone asked me what was my favorite show to direct, it was Godspell. It was a majority of the cast were teenagers that I had worked with in the past, like from my school and from the neighborhood, from the parish. So it was a group of people that, like, we've known each other for a while. And the absolute shift, it's a show that brings you together as a community. It is a show that you cannot do without changing who, like, you are as a group of people. And it really changed them for the better. They became very cohesive, which made the next memory so much more intense. But, you know, it was at one point, my favorite part of the show was always the finale. I could not get through singing it myself without crying. But just listening, I'm in the back of where we are as a chorus, and they're leading the young man who played Jesus out, and the harmonies, and just listening to it, I was like, where did this all come from? Who are all of these people that just, these aren't the kids that I'm used to working with. Like, they really became Jesus and his disciples. Like, and that's like the whole point of Godspell, right? It's that there's these random people that just come out of nowhere and they meet Jesus and they are transformed, and they're a whole bunch of other people. And so I believe it was really that show. And then I made the decision the next year to step back and not be in our production of The Fantastics. And I'm in the back, and this one's actually also two parts, but I'm in the back at the table where we have the lights and the sound, and the mics stopped working during one of the songs during opening night, and they kept singing and they tried. And I don't remember, Claudia was like, what, 13 at the time? She was really young. Like, this young lady, Claudia, had literally just become old enough to be in our fall shows, because our fall shows are teenagers and up. And the other young lady, Antoinette, had, that was, I think, her first show. And they just kept singing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they're still singing. Okay. And so we're trying to figure out how to fix the mics, but we're just like, yes, keep singing, keep singing, keep singing. And then a personal moment for me, this young lady I taught at St. Adalbert's, well, she was the year before then, she ends up being my goddaughter. She asked me to be her god, her sponsor for confirmation. She just stole the show. And I literally sat there and I was just, I couldn't like believe the amount of growth that they had had. And they were just such a different, like, it was like a different person. And it was like, then coming back after COVID, seeing her do all of the stuff that she was doing for that particular show that we were doing for Sound of Music, playing Rolf, I was so nervous to be that far removed from the stage because I am a very neurotic control freak. And as a director, that wasn't really like, you know, the best role sometimes because you have to learn to let go. And I had to learn how to let go. And so that's my favorite memory because it was like, it proved that they could do it without me standing right on top of them and being like, all right, we're moving over here now. We're doing this now. Like, I could step back and be like, okay, you guys can do this.
Oh, those are so incredible. I love those. All of you, what wonderful memories you've shared. I really appreciate those. Thank you so much. As we wrap things up, I would love to know, do any of you or the Guild have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
We are in the middle of discussing as a group our next season. We normally do a show in the fall and a show in the spring. The show in the fall being more of a straight play usually, smaller cast and an age restriction of 13 and up. Our spring one being our big musical with all ages, everyone included. We have not set exactly what shows will be for that season yet, but we are hoping to finalize those before Cinderella comes up.
Amazing. Any other things?
I just want to plug a few other local groups we have in our surrounding area. Maggie's Little Theater in Middle Village is going to produce 1776 this summer, which I'm personally so excited for. It's one of my favorite musicals. And another group, JC Players, is doing The Little Mermaid. They are in Corona, I believe. I would have to recheck, but they're not too far from Maggie's Little Theater. Also, it's going to be like two more people. There is a group in Forest Hills, Queens, that is doing a Shakespeare rock show. It's all original. They're doing rock songs and it's Shakespeare-esque. And I don't know how it's going to come together, but I'm super excited to see it. And then another group, which was on the podcast, City Gate, they have been a really bright light in Queens theater, and they've only been in existence for, I think, 2 years, maybe three, but every show they put on is absolutely amazing. And they just did 12 Angry Men, and I saw it twice. I helped out at the show, and it was so well put together. I could barely control my enthusiasm in the theater. That's a solemn show, and I'm like trying to be as nice as possible. But yeah, they're doing Frankenstein in October. And really, there are hundreds more theaters in Queens, but those are probably the most predominant that I can think of. And if anyone can support them, you know, again, they try to keep everything very reasonable like we do in terms of pricing and affordable theater. So definitely those would be great for support in keeping Queens theater alive.
That is wonderful. Yes, and thank you for the shout out to friends of the show, Citygate Productions. That's amazing. And that leads to our final question, which is, if our listeners would like more information about St. Mary's Drama Guild production of Cinderella, or about any of you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
I'm sure Claire and Ashley want me to say it because I know the most about everything on our website. So if you're interested in helping with Cinderella, or because we are always looking for stage crew or ushers, and you don't have to know what you're doing, just come down and we'll help you. You can reach out to us at stmarysdramaguild@gmail.com, or you can go to our website, which is www.stmarysdramaguild.org. If you're interested in seeing Cinderella, like Claire said at the top of the interview, it is April 27th, 28th, May 4th, and 5th in Woodside, Queens. You can get tickets at www.stmarysdramaguild.org/tickets. Tickets go on sale March 17th, so this Sunday.
And that's Saint, S-T, not Saint spelled out.
Wonderful. Well, Carrie, Claire, and Ashley, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today, sharing your wonderful organization and this incredible upcoming production. This has been such a joy. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
My guests today have been Carrie Claire Gleason, who is the secretary, social media manager, and music director for the upcoming production we spoke about, as well as Claire Spinetti, the treasurer, director, and choreographer, and Ashley Gleason, the president of the Guild, set designer, and costume designer. They joined us today to talk about St. Mary's Drama Guild's production of Cinderella. It's playing April 27th through 28th. And May 4th through the 5th at St. Mary's Church, which is at 7020 47th Avenue in Woodside, Queens. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting stmarysdramaguild.org. We also have some other contact information for them, which we'll be listing in our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But make sure you come out and support these wonderful artists and this wonderful organization. They're a brilliant example of beautiful local theater. We want to make sure to keep them going, keep supporting the community and creating these wonderful productions. So make sure you turn up to see Cinderella by the St. Mary's Drama Guild, April 27th through 28th and May 4th through the 5th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones,
unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about the theater
in a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.